veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Why did Jesus come? He came to take on flesh. This truth may seem blatantly obvious to us as Christians, but in fact, this has been an issue since the first century church. And one of the ways that John repeatedly tells the churches to find false teachers in both 1 John and 2 John is that a false teacher denies that Jesus came in the flesh. That might seem like a strange criteria until we consider the significance of it and the significance of denying it. In fact, it's so important to John that this is exactly how John starts his gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. But this truth of Jesus taking on flesh also confronts some modern ways in which our culture is increasingly anti-flesh. Jesus came to redeem humanity, soul and body. But we as a society are attempting to become less like humans and more like gods. And in doing so, we're living less embodied lives. And three cultural trends, which will be my three main points. They're also in alphabetical order. We as a culture are becoming more transfixed, transgender, and transhuman. Just your typical subject matter for Christmas. So, and the incarnation runs counter to these trends, and that's good news. So transfixed. We're transfixed to our phones. And these devices give us a sense that we can be omnipresent, that we can be everywhere, with everyone, all of the time. And it gives us a sense of unlimitedness, knowing what everyone else is doing, having everything at our fingertips. And this is a pursuit of human omniscience outside of a human body. Because being on your phone leaves behind those who are actually in the room with us. Author Wendell Berry said of the interstate system that the interstate cut through farms. It divided neighbor from neighbor. It made distant what had been close and close what had been distant. And if this is true of the interstate, how much more of the smartphone? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and their phone dings? They get it out, they get a serious look on their face, and they start to respond. They have left you and entered another world. And it's a very awkward, inhuman experience. And like the interstate, it has made distant what had been close. And homeschool moms, I have a special application for you. I'll pick on the guys later. God has given you, moms, a specific, he has you in a specific place with specific people for a certain period of time. And when it's school time, if you're allowing your phone to ding and responding every time it does, you're effectively telling your kids that the people out there are more important to you than the people right here. For all of us, do we show by our phone habits that we actually value those around us? The limitations that God has placed on you are for your good. And giving you a body makes you inherently limited. Even Jesus, in his human mind and body, submitted the limitations of his omniscience. He had to ask who touched him. And limitations on his omnipresence. He had to leave one town to teach in another town. But those voluntary limitations made him physically and mentally present with a specific group of people in a specific place for a certain period of time. And he didn't spend his time in anxiety about what was going on in other places with other people. I mean, think of all the good things that he could have done if only he would have known. But listen to what Jesus says about himself from Hebrews 10. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus could only fulfill God's will for him in a human body with human limitations. So what did he do? He focused on and invested in the people immediately around him and gave his life serving us through the use and abuse of his body. He came to take on flesh. Number two, transgender. Transgenderism is based on the idea that your psychological reality is more real, or at least more important, than what your physical, biological reality is telling you about yourself. This philosophy that says, I think, therefore I am, meets its natural end, where our cognition, our thinking, comes to define and determine our existence. Then the natural outflow of that is that what's going on in my head becomes my reality, and my obvious biology and anatomy aren't as real or as valuable as how I think about myself. Those who fall prey to this are denying who and what they're made to be, and they're redefining their humanity rather than receiving their humanity. And while this may not be a pressing issue here at Grace Baptist Church, transgenderism is like any other false teaching. It provides us with an opportunity to think more clearly about what is true. In this case, what the Bible teaches us about our bodies, and to ask whether we ourselves think about our bodies the way that God does. After all, you don't have to be taking puberty blockers to have an unbiblical view of your body. And the Bible speaks to this in a very foundational way. Not only did God form our bodies, but Jesus took on a body like ours. This is good news. So how do we apply it? By taking on a biblical view of our bodies, that your body is good, but it's fallen. And fallenness doesn't manifest itself in beauty. Fallenness manifests itself in your body eventually falling apart. Beauty is still a reflection of the goodness of God's original design and creation. So do you view your body as bad or good? All of it. Because Jesus took on all of it. Jesus even had to go through puberty. And there are strange and uncomfortable things that happen to your body during a season of change like that, where shame may be a natural response, but it's not the right response. And it's also not the only option. If you take on God's view of your body, that it's fearfully and wonderfully made, then out of that will come a willingness to learn about and engage with your body, speaking about your body with gratitude, putting consideration into how you dress your body and how you take care of your body. Your body's made in the image of God to reflect his glory, and the more you educate yourself about your body, the more you can celebrate God's goodness and enjoy and steward and care for the body that God gave you and put it to a good use that he's planned for you. Jesus came to take on flesh. So our bodies aren't something that we should pamper or pander to. Rather, they're something that we should steward and respect and care for. Our bodies aren't something that we should flaunt or neglect or abuse, but they're also not something that we should hate or be embarrassed by. There's a ditch of flaunting your body, and there's a ditch of being ashamed of your body. Excessive attention to your body or disassociation from your body. Neither of these approaches honor your body or honor the God who made your body or honor the God who came to take on a body. We were made to know God and show God by bearing his image. So any view that leads you to disassociate or disconnect from your body denies both God's design and his spirit inside us. It denies the goodness of the body as confirmed by Jesus taking on flesh. Number three, transhuman. You may not be familiar with this term. Transhumanism refers to efforts to improve humans through technology, through artificial intelligence, through augmented reality, through augmented bodies. And some of this is good, like hearing aids and hips and teeth. But those who are pursuing pure transhumanism are attempting, as they see it, to do three things. One is to take control of human evolution. Two is to enhance human capacity. And three is to free us from biological limitations and the constraints of death. And in some ways, these start to sound a lot like gospel promises. But what differentiates these from gospel promises is that transhumanism is based in a materialistic view of the cosmos, that this is all there is. And it's an effort to give us immortality, but without a body. Transhumanism seeks to improve and renew our minds through the interaction of technology and the human brain. And if a certain generation actually does come to shape the future of humanity with technology, then we've truly become the conditioners that C.S. Lewis warned about. Conditioners being those who determine and manipulate the future anatomy and capacities of our offspring. And this is the direction that modern science is yearning for. For example, the 2020 Nobel Prize was given to scientists who developed a tool to edit the human genome. When transhumanists talk about rejuvenation or enhanced life or satisfied senses, We can take comfort that Jesus delivers what modern science and technology can only grasp at. And it's not ultimately a disembodied existence. He came to take on flesh, and he came to give you life to the full. So we can look to Jesus in the good news of Christmas, that God has become man to apply that in ways that will bring correction and comfort and healing. Jesus came to take on flesh. He didn't become a human by only assuming a human mind or by only taking on a human consciousness, as if having a body were not a basic part of our humanity. In Daniel 7, Daniel sees an apocalyptic vision of terrifying beasts coming out of the ocean, one after another, ravaging the nations, and finally being judged by the Ancient of Days and by the angelic hosts in the courts of heaven. And then he sees a new creature approach the Ancient of Days. It's a man. Well, how does Daniel know it's a man? Does Daniel somehow sense his consciousness? No, of course not. Daniel sees his body. And to this man is given honor and authority and power. Now, for us, this vision's been fulfilled. And while Jesus has a perfect resurrection body, it is a man with a body who sits next to the Father. A man who holds the scepter of a king with hands that have nail holes in them. A man who is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool because he has feet. A man who is our advocate, who has experienced weakness and temptation just like you have. He came to take on flesh. And while he emptied himself of the glory he had in heaven before he became human, he did not empty himself of this flesh upon his return to the Father. He continues to wear it to identify himself with you and me. So may the limitations of living in a body remind us of what Jesus took on for us. And may we embrace these limitations and steward and use the body that God has given us to fulfill his will. It's like we just sang, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.